Yud-Gimel Tammuz, Friday the 11th of July, Rabbi David Nosson Silkin, the connection of Pinchas and Eliyahu.
Good morning. If we could start the shiur, just to mention, maybe the shiur can be in the schools of Rushalim of Dov Dior and Sarachana, and Bashev Baskidl, Shtar Rushalim. Parashas Pinchas starts, it's really actually begins in the middle of a story. The Ma'is of Karnos of Pinchas, where the Ribbono Shel Olam says that as a reward for his kanos, he's going to receive the bris sholem. And immediately the question is raised that seemingly Pinchas did an act of violence. That's the way it seems. He took a spear and he killed Zimri. And he merits because of this bris sholem. One would have thought that the reward should match the deed. So on a simple level, I think the stipler goes with this mahalach, that there's a famous Erech Chaim, says during Chamcho, when Klal Yisrael go to war, says, "Anosam charachamim v'richamcho." Erech Chaim says, because when people go to war, that can sometimes generate in themselves a certain feeling of achzorius. And they need an extra dose of rachamim to counter that. So the Rebbe Hashem gives them a dose of rachamim. But it seems that over here there's much more than that, because this bris sholom is lo lezare acharov. It wasn't just a short-term reward for this action to counteract any feelings of violence which might have been generated by this ma'aser. It seems it was a much more long-term bris, covenant of peace, which is going to go for him and his whole generation. So the truth is, Chazal tell us that it's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, because the Shvatim and Mevazim also, they said, really your lineage is from Ben Puti, your ancestry is really the Oyv David Zorah Yisroi, who he had these bad midas and these bad character traits, and that's what causes you to take up the spear and do such a violent action. But the Torah tells us that's not true. Really, he was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. He was a peaceful person. He was the grandson of Aaron, who was the Oyv Shalom v'Reid of Shalom. There is a gong in Brochus that tells us that after the Akedah, the Rebbeinu Shalom said to Avram, "Ato yodati ki Yirei Elokim ato." Now I know that you're Yirei Shemayim. Also, we find it says that the Akedah, "Kach no es Pinchas," the Rebbeinu Shalom said, "Please take your son." Why please? So Rashi brings from Chazal that the Lashon is, "Amoid noli bezeh," please stand in this nisoyon, in this test, because if you don't stand in this test, then the first nine that you've already accomplished will be worthless. And the question is, why should that be? Why would the first nine be dependent on the last one, the Akedah being successful, him being successful in standing that test? And the Gaon explains, and you can be moist from the Gaon, that some people have a natural tendency to a certain middah. Rachmanus comes easy to them. They're merciful people, and they're very happy to do chesed and be merciful. But when it comes to laying down the law, or standing up to something which is incorrect, then incapable of doing that. It's not part of their character. Other people are tough. They know how to go around making sure everyone's doing what they should be doing, but when it comes to doing some chesed and tzedakah, they're unable to do that. But the Torah way is to know when to apply the different middos that there are. There's sometimes when one has to be merciful, there's sometimes one has to do chesed, and there's unfortunately sometimes when a person has to stand up and do the opposite and make a stand. And that has to be directed from what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And one has to always think, what would the Ribbono Shel Olam want in this situation, and what's his real rotzen? Says the Gaon that Avram, so far, all his first nine had evolved chesed or bitochen, areas which could have come naturally to him. He was the one, he ran out for the malachim, he was incredible, the chesed that he did. The Akedah was really, if one thinks about it, a ma'aser of achzorius. He was asked to shech his only son, something which seems completely not opposite of chesed, the diametric opposite. But Avram withstood the test. He understood if that's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants, this is not a time for Rachmanos. This is a time to do what the Rebbeinu Shem wants. If that's true, this is where we're going to add to the Gaon. If that's true, then that then shows on the first nine of the tests that when he did the chesed, he did the stocker, that also was because he wanted to emulate the Rebbeinu Shem, he wanted to do the Ratzon Hashem, not because he was somebody whose heart felt that way and that's how he followed his natural instincts. He wasn't a liberal who just had to, you know, love everybody. He did because the Rebbeinu Shem wants, this is what the Rebbeinu Shem wants now, this is what I'm supposed to do, chesed, I'm emulating the Rebbeinu Shem. But there are other times where one has to make a stand. So it could be the same idea over here. How do we know that Pinchas was the real Ish Sholem? That means his peace was because he wanted to do what the Rebbeinu Shem knew, that the Rebbeinu Shem really wants us to be peaceful together. It's when he's really Taka is the Ben Aaron. He is a Oyev Sholem, a Roed of Sholem. When he can go against that Midah and realize that at this time is not the time for peace. Now is time to take up weapons and do a Maisa which seems to be the opposite of peace. It shows us that every action that he did is because the Rebbeinu Shalom wants me to do it. This is the right time now for peace and Shalom, and he is his Shalom, and that's what he loves. So the Rebbeinu Shalom says, when you do such an action, then you show that you're taka doing what I always want, that's how you merit to get the bris Shalom for you and your generations to come. And this is the same idea that we're seeing with Akedah. After your data Girei Lekimatzon, now says the Rebbeinu Shalom to Avraham, now I know that all the actions you've done till now are with the right motives, and with the right... The Ratzon Hashem is what's driving you. Just tell you a short story. Taka with the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, taka the Klal Yisrael Shatav Yeshua. There was in the 1948 when the Jordanians were shelling Yerushalayim. I've seen this story in print already. There was somebody who was together with the Bris Gerov, and they were shelling. And he noticed a very interesting thing. As soon as the shelling came towards where they were staying, there was no reaction from the Rizkrof. He was calm. When the shelling started to move over to the other side of the city, or away from him, he became very anxious. Extremely anxious, started pacing, and he looked extremely anxious. Later, when the shelling came back towards their side of the city, again, he relaxed. He calmed down and he sat there and he learned. As soon as it moved away, again, extremely nervous and anxious. So he asked the Bris Gerov, you know, do you mind me asking, but most of us are the opposite. You know, if shelling is coming towards us or missiles, lo aleinu, that's when we become anxious and that's when we start becoming nervous. When the missiles move away from us, that's when we calm down. You're doing the opposite. So he said an incredible thing, Bris Gerov. He said, I feel a responsibility for the people in Yerushalayim. Many of them, it's a small fledgling community, and I feel that I must help people. There's shelling going on, there's a wall, there's starvation, there's no water, I must be able to help people. So as soon as the shelling is coming towards the other side of the city, I feel I need to be doing something. Well, who can I send over there? Who can I get to help? How can I send? And I become very anxious. As soon as the shelling comes towards me, I realize I'm completely helpless now to do anything. I cannot do anything, I cannot send people out. When the shelling is coming towards us, that's a time for bitochen. That's when I relax, I sit and learn. That means when it comes to helping others, that's not a time for bitochen. That's a time for a person to get up and try and do what he can. One can't have bitochen on the yenes cheshbon. When it comes to when I'm helpless, to the risk of, that's a time to be calm. And that's a mamish. Obviously, this is a great madrega. This is an extreme example of somebody who's completely in control of his emotions. He doesn't just let himself go. When it's time to be anxious, that's when I'm anxious. When it's time to be calm. And he was in complete control of himself. But let's talk about the Bris Shalom. The Bris Shalom. We know, Chazal tell us, as the Sipporna points out over here, that Pinchas merited longevity. He says he definitely outlived Yeshua. According to many shittas, he was alive in the flesh 300 years later, Bizman Yiftach. And especially if we understand that Pinchas Zu Elio, Chazal mentioned in a couple of places, and we'll come and discuss it, that Pinchas Zu Elio, he lived for many, many years, and he's still a malach, so that means he lived for many, many years. Says the Sipurna, this is directly connected to the Bris Sholim that he received. He says, because the generation is caused by what we, I suppose we call friction, or snags hayafeichim, where things don't quite mesh together, they don't work together, there's not a smooth, harmonious existence between different components of the body, or any components working together, and that causes them to wear each other down, and that slowly over time causes degeneration. Says the Sipurna, because Pinchas was zeichet to shalom. Shalom means not just, what it means, shalom just doesn't mean peace. Shalom is from the word shalim. Shalom is often translated as perfection. But my wife's great-grandfather, Rebbeinu Munk from France, he used to say that shlemus is not perfection. Perfection would denote something where you've reached a final goal and it's stagnant, there's nothing, there's nowhere to go. He used to say shlemus was harmony. When you reach a stage where everything's working tandem perfectly together, but you're still moving, you're still developing, but in a perfect harmonious state. Shalom bayis doesn't mean that the husband and wife are exactly the same. They're not. They've often got completely different koiches. The ultimate shalom bayis is where those two different koiches come together and work in harmony, each one complementing the other one, and in a beautifully oiled machinery of marriage. So the same thing over here. Shalom that Pinchas was zeichet to was this idea that there was no friction within his own, even in his physical body, that he could have this extra bracha. Perhaps this is how we should have been had Adam not, the chet ha'Adam Arishon, maybe that's how we would have existed. But Pinchas had this special bracha to have shalom, which allowed him to have longevity. So we know that Pinchas zu Eliyon. It's a fascinating Pirkei de Beleza. Pirkei de Beleza says we actually laid it in this week's Haftarah. We're not always zeichet to lay in this Haftarah, depending when the 3 weeks is. But this week actually does mention Eliyahu, and the story says Malach Apo Eliyahu, and Eliyahu says Vayoy Mekano Ki Neisi La Hashem Elokei Tzvokit Ki Ozvu Brischo Bnei Yisrael Ez Mizbecha Yisecha Horasu, and so the Pirkei de Beleza says Pirkei Chavtes. That these words, Brischo b'nei Yisrael, actually means that Eliyahu was complaining that Klal Yisrael were not keeping the Bris Mila like they should be. And the Pirkei de Beleza says, because of that, the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, this is not the first time these words, Kana Kinesi, it's not the first time you've been Mekana, the first time, so it was at the B'nei Smoyov, which is a clear reference to the fact that Pinchas and Eliyahu are one and the same. This is not the first time you've been Mekana. But this time, you're not completely correct. Klal Yisrael, you're not right and completely that Klal Yisrael are not keeping the Bris Mila. They are keeping the Bris Mila. And because you've complained about them, you're therefore going to have to give witness to every single Bris. And this is where it comes from, that Eliyahu is the Malach HaBris, and he attends every single Bris because he complained that Klal Yisrael are not keeping the Bris. He's then Zeicha, or he then has to, so to say, give witness and actually attend every Bris and give his bracha to every Bris that Klal Yisrael keep. This is the Pirkei de Beleza. So is there a connection between these two stories? Is there a connection between the kinna of Pinchas in our district, etc., and the kinna of Eliyahu Novi, that he's saying that they're not keeping the Bris Mila? We find a very, very interesting point. We know at Kriyas Yamsuf, Chazal tell us, there's certainly three Chazalon that tell us in what schus did the Yamsuf split. So there's a famous one, Ma Roha Yom Vayonos, what caused the sea to split? Roha Rona Shel Yosef. It saw the Or Shel Yosef, just like Yosef. It says, Vayonos Achutza, sorry. And it says, he ran away from Eshes Potiphar. So too the Yam ran away, so to say, in front of Klal Yisrael, and it split. Another Chazal is that the reason the Yam split is because of Moshe, the Schus Moshe. We say, Davening Boikea Yom Lifnei Moshe. Moshe is the one who, so to say, in his schus, the Yam split. And third of all, in the schus of Mila, the Yalkut, the Mekiri says in Tehillim, Oz, Yoshe, Oz, is Aleph Zayin, is the Gematria Ches, Bischus, the Mila, which is done on the eighth day. It's also mentioned, Goize Yamsov Ligizorim. Chazal say there in that medrash, goes the answer of ligizurim. He said, so cut the yam for those who are gozo, those who have had the mila done to them. So let's see, can we connect all these three things? We have Yosef, we have Moshe, and we have Mila. So the Maral tells us about the Kriyas Yamsuf in Gurus Hashem. Famous Maral, who tells us that Mayim denotes Choyma over Tzura. Meaning, Mayim is the most physical base element that there is of matter in the physical world, which has absolutely no definition and no limitations. We know that Mayim has no form of its own. It will take on the form and shape of any receptacle that it's in. It doesn't have its own form, unless it's ice. But in its natural form, it has no shape. That's why you put in a round cup, it will be round. In a square, it's always got takes on the shape of something else. It has no shape of its own. Says the Maral, that denotes an idea of physicality with no limitations, with no borders, no definitions. The job of a human being, especially a Torah Jew, is to give it its definition and its form, al pi Torah, and to take the physical world and give it its limitations and give it and that in, to exist in within that framework that the Torah puts there for us. Those who do not have any limitations are people who have no form in their own lives. What was the greatest example? That was Dor HaMavol. And therefore, because they lived with such immorality and with no sense of limits, the Maral tells us, that's why the Mavol came. The Mavol was an idea where the mind just completely covered the earth, just like the people had no limitations, the water also had no limitations. Water came, water denotes taiva, it denotes physicality, without any limitations, and therefore the Mavol came, and it completely covered the earth. Moshe Rabbeinu, why was Moshe called Moshe? Because minamai mishisuhu, he was drawn from water. Why was that important? Says the Maral, because Moshe was the exact opposite. He was the balatzura. He was in complete control of himself. He knew exactly the limitations of what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants from us in this world. So he's withdrawn from water. He's the opposite of water. He's drawn away from water. That's Moshe. Yosef is a similar idea. Yosef is a person who is in a terrible nisoyon. Obviously, we're talking about Yosef HaTzadik. It must have been an extremely hard nisoyon for him to be in the depths of Mitzrayim, the immorality that there was there, and every day to be with Eishes Potiphar, and he manages to overcome that, and he manages to hold himself back, and he runs away. Again, the Baal HaTzura overcoming the Choma without any limitations. And thirdly, you have the Mila. And again, the Mefarshim explain that the Mila is representing the same idea. It's a limitation. It's showing you this Kedusha. It's not a free-for-all. Life has got to have a certain boundary, a certain limitation. In fact, Shamsha's got a beautiful idea. He says that we have a mitzvah of Mila, and then we have a mitzvah of Priya. And he says, if you note, when was Priya given? It was given at the time when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't given straight away. It was Zman Yeshua. And he says the reason is because Klal Yisrael were moving in from an existence of living on a plane of Ruchnias, where they were living with the Mon, and with the Mayim, with the Be'er, which was a completely different kind of... Now they were coming into the land, they were going to have to toil and live like normal human beings. This is where the message comes through, that yes, we are supposed to live in this world, but we're supposed to live once we put down the limits and the borders which the Torah wants from us, and it's given us a framework of Kedusha, then within that framework, of course we're supposed to live this life to its full. So after Mila, once we understand there's a limitation, then there's Priya, which allows the expression of living in this world. And that's the idea of living, coming to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, we're going to have Kedusha, we've got mitzvahs, but within that there's a full life to be lived within the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, a full physical life. That is Kedusha. Kedusha is giving the Torah framework to our everyday lives. He notes, Rav Shamshon, in his inimitable style, that in the physical world, you will find kamat. You will not find the square. That means in the natural world. There's no square shape in the natural world. Straight lines. The closest you'll get, there's a Sefer Ikra that talks about the hexagon in the beeswax, in the honeycombs. But there's no square shape. Everything is round. Generally rounded, of a rounded nature. And the reason for that, he explains, is because In the Teva, the way that Rav Shem is created a physical thing, everything pushes out to its boundaries, to its maximum. A circle represents pushing out as far as you can go. Everything's pushing out equally from the center point, and it just pushes without any limitation at all. It just goes until it cannot go anymore. The square always, Kamat always shows the intervention of the human, where he comes in and he says, this is how it's supposed to be. It's up to here, and it's up to here, and I'm putting a limitation. And he says, that's why a lot of things in Torah are square. The Orem was square, the Mizbeach was square, the Shulchan had a square element to it, Tefillin are square, because the Torah strategy, you're supposed to come into this world and give it its definition and its shape, this is how we're supposed to live in these boundaries, and once you have those boundaries of the Torah, that's the Kedusha, that's where you're supposed to live. And that's the same idea that he's saying, that's the, many times he talks about that tzitzis, he connects up with that, that the Gedilim, a very interesting idea, is where you, first it's knotted, to give you the idea of being bound to a certain idea, and then the strings are let free, because within that framework, you're allowed to express yourself. And that's the way the Torah wants it. So again, we have this idea that what the Torah wants from us is to live within a certain framework, and within that framework to create the limits that are, and within that framework to have our Kedusha. Says the Maral, and I'm coming back to Maral, what does it have to do with Kriyas Yamsuf? He says, because at Kriyas Yamsuf, they were facing the Yam. Again, we're coming back to the Mayim. They were facing Mayim, which was in front of them, and they needed a special nace. The nace of Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't simply that the Yam split. It didn't simply just split and they walked through. What happened was, it says, Kofu Tohomis Belev Yam. The walls took on, Chazal say they were ice-like, but really what was happening was that the water took on a form. It became, and as we know, there was Mayanem, Chomim, Minim, Smolom. The water took on, they were like high walls on each side of them. If there are high walls on each side of them, that means the Mayim was taking on a tzura. It was taking on a form. Something which was not unnatural for water. How is this going to happen? In what schus is this going to happen? Says the Maral, it's only going to happen in the schus, in the merit of the Bale Hatzura. Those people who are in complete control of themselves and live a life of limitations, of definition, Al Pi Torah and Al Pi Kedusha, these are the ones who are, in that schus, will the water take on a shape. So that brings all these three things together. Moshe, as we said, was min ha'mayim mishisu. He was drawn away from water. So he's the Bala Tzura. Yosef, again, was the one who demonstrated the Chayra, the Torah is telling us this story, one of the greatest acts of self-control. He was the Bala Tzura. Ma'ara ha'yom ma'yon Israel Rin Shel Yosef. And coming back, again, to the Mila, which says, Goyze Yamsu Ligzurim, the Yamsu split. Also in the Schus of the Mila, like we mentioned, that Mila also represents this idea of limitations and of Kedusha and of being living in the defined borders that the Torah sets out for us. So perhaps we can suggest like this. Pinchas, or an Eliyahu, the connection might be, Eliyahu is complaining to the Rebbein Shalom of Brischo B'nai Yisrael. They're not keeping the Bris Mila. It may be, it doesn't just mean that physically they're not doing the Bris Mila. They're not living up to the message that the Bris Mila is giving to us. They are not living within the limitations and with the Kedusha that the Bris Mila represents. That might have been the Kanei Kinesi that Eliyahu said, they're not living within the correct borders. To which the Rebbe Yishai said, you have a point, but you're not completely right. Klal Yisrael, do keep the Bris Mila. And perhaps that's why when Eliyahu comes to the Bris, he's not just honoring us. He's not just coming to sit at the Bris Mila so that we can have a nice extra chair for him. And we can have another kibbutz, which we always seem to be running out of at Bris Mila. You know, to the chair, and off the chair, and you know how it goes. But it's not just what it's about. It could be Eliyahu is coming to give us a message. But you should remember what the Bris Mila is about. Kanei Kinesi, when he was upset, Eliyahu is coming to tell us that the Bris Mila is a message for us all our days of our life, how we're supposed to be living. And this could be the same kinah that Pinchas had. Because Pinchas saw what was going on with Klal Yisrael, that they'd lost all the limitations. They'd gone out with the Bnei Yismoyov, and they'd completely broken down. They'd gone out of the Machane, literally, physically, they'd left the boundaries of the Machane to go out to the Bnei Yismoyov, and they'd fallen into the chet with the Bnei Yismoyov, which represented a breakdown of the limitations that the Torah wants from us. So it could be the two kiddas link out together. It's the same, that's what the Medrash means. It's the same idea. You, Pinchas, Cain, Kana, Kinesi, the Kaddish are not living within the borders, within the Kedusha that is wanted from the Torah. And again, they're not keeping the Bris Mila, which represents the same idea, that perhaps this is a connection between the two stories of Pinchas and Eliyahu. And this might fit in nicely with the Bris Shalom. Shalom, again, as we mentioned before, is the idea of harmony. And harmony means, like we're saying, where everything works exactly as it should. So it could be, it's a fitting reward. Because what we're saying here is to live within what the Torah wants from us means to make a harmonious existence between our physical selves and our ruchnistik aside, to live within that framework, that's true shalom. When we're living with the shleimus, where everything's working together, we are supposed to be in this world, and we're supposed to live within the physical world, but within the framework laid down by the Torah, that's possibly the greater shalom which can exist. That's the shleimus that we mentioned of the harmony. Taka, we should be zoicha that we ourselves, within ourselves, we should have shleimus, which and shalom, which will then generate shalom between man and his fellow, which will also cause shalom between us and Pamala Shalmaila. And in the discourse of that, Taka, we should be zoicha very soon to see shalom in our own community and, of course, in Eretz Yisrael.